This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday before Christmas. It feels so joyful.
Oh, it does. Thank you so much for saying that.
It could
that.
Be worse. You could be on Capitol Hill and maybe you're getting nothing for Christmas because the government's shutting down.
Yeah, their breaks are not long enough. They need to have longer breaks.
It's funny to me to listen to people try to push for the shutdown. They're like, make them stay over Christmas. It's very aggressive. I think the best outcome here would be a deal that works for everybody. That does also allow them to get home, the Congress people to get home for Christmas. But it's interesting to me that Americans would even be subjected to the worry that maybe they would not be able to spend their time home with their family for Christmas. Like, meanwhile, you've got people in hospitals and police officers patrolling the streets and people all across the country who are going to work on Christmas just because that's their job. But heaven forbid we not get this done so that Congress.
I'm glad that's the direction you took it, because the guy that goes, make them stay over Christmas, I don't even care, shut it all down. That's me.
I know. I'm sure you are. I mean, I think a lot of people are. I just think it's funny that it's that concern is even part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm taking it a step further. I give zero fudge brownies about where they spend Christmas.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
But I don't want government to shut down specifically so that Congress cannot spend Christmas with their families. It's not of a concern to me. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yes. Like, you don't want them to pass a bill now just to be able to go home for Christmas either.
Oh, heck no.
Like, that should not even factor into the decision.
Christmas doesn't factor into the decision for me.
I
feel like there are people who are saying, like, who are I don't really hear anyone being like, we have to get this done so our children can be with us. I don't hear anyone advocating for getting it done just because of the timeline. They're lying and they're saying it's because the government's going to shut down.
Does this make us Scrooges or Grinches?
No. Neither.
I would say Scrooges.
Neither.
Because it's about the money.
This makes us Santa Clauses because we're giving them a lump of coal for bad behavior.
Does Santa do that?
Or Rabbit. The Krumpus?
Can you put that bell just a little closer to the microphone?
No.
It's like, ding, 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 ding.
It's supposed to be.
It sounds so loud
in here.
It's supposed
to be. And then hit that thing right by the microphone.
All right.
Let the people know.
Yay, Santa.
Yay.
That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah. I just don't... What matters here is the future of the country and our ability to afford what we spend. And that was kind of one of the driving factors, the top priorities of this past campaign. So when I hear that we are going to give, what was it, like a 1,600-ish, 1,500-something page bill.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we could pare it down a little bit, I guess. To like 150 pages.
Yeah, that seemed like a win.
Yeah,
but
and then they're like,
didn't.
No. They got to get their act together. Actually, people on the left are relishing in this disarray. Folks, you still got the president of the United States. Joe Biden, in theory, is still the president of the United States. This is still the old Congress. Donald Trump's going to come in and change the whole game. It's a last hurrah for the Democrats. Republicans, listen up. Just do what's best for the country. Politically, you don't have to worry about it right now. This is actually the moment in time where you have the most runway to do it as hardcore Republican as you possibly can. Like, squeeze every ounce of fiscal sanity and conservatism out of this moment in time as you can.
Yeah, that's why don't kick it to March. Do it now. I understand. You don't have the Senate yet. I understand. But do it now. This is...
And make those people stay in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
for Christmas.
That's our Christmas. That's your Christmas gift to us as Americans. It is the 20th of December. Usually this is a day where it's like, eh, you know what? Not a whole lot of news. But this is super, super important. This is the kind of stuff that we just elected a new Senate and a new president to do. And it's happening now.
Democrats are all like, Elon Musk wasn't elected to run the country. And we're like, Joe Biden was, and where the heck is he?
Yeah, let him lead.
Yeah, let him step in. If he doesn't like Donald Trump running the show right now, and everybody did elect Donald Trump, and everybody elected Donald Trump, and Elon Musk was the wingman the whole time. It's not like Elon Musk showed up on the scene on November 6th.
Right.
Not at all. Like, he's been there the whole time. The entourage that walks around everywhere with Donald Trump has been pretty consistent. And Donald Trump has been very loyal to the people who were with him throughout that whole campaign. As people came on board, he honored those commitments. And people voted for Donald Trump, understanding that these are the people he had in tow. And it's really funny to me that a man of the people, I mean, like, Elon Musk is a citizen. He's a voting citizen, right? So he gets a say.
So. Yeah.
He gets a say. The Democrats in the House are like, he's got way too much influence. I wish more American voters would have influence instead of, you know, the people trying to elbow in and harp in on the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. Give me a break. George Clooney single-handedly took Joe Biden out of the race. What has he done for America other than act? He's a bazillionaire of some sort, but he's allowed to pick and choose the Democrat nominee. But Elon Musk, who's the richest man in the world and like an incredibly successful, innovative Tony Stark, he needs to sit down. Oh, knock it off.
I don't think you understand.
I understand. I took my microphone off.
It's only a problem when the Republicans are doing it. When the Democrats do it, it's fine. Have you been here for the last 4 years? This is what it looks like. I mean, I'm getting the death stare. You know what it is interesting, though?
Nothing that I just said?
Yeah, none of that. Let me shift gears here a little bit. Talk about something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The strategy that's going on right now, you can see that there probably was a memo that went out among congressional Democrats that said, let's drive a wedge between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Let's try to use Trump's ego and say, oh, what's Elon Musk doing here? It's almost as if he's more powerful than the president right now.
Yeah, you know how Donald Trump's like, here, just take the spotlight. I'll just step over
right
here. You go on,
right.
Elon. You do you.
Here's the thing, though. I think it might work. If you keep saying, gosh, Elon just seems to be really running this show.
You think
Donald Trump's ego
is still that sensitive?
I think it is. We'll find out.
I think Elon's doing dirty work and can't lose an election in the process. And that is a huge asset to Donald Trump. And he's like, go.
I hope so.
Elon Musk doesn't really say much. He tweets or posts or whatever on X all of the time, but it's not like he's doing press conferences. It's not like he's out there every day. I mean, honestly, the Democrats in Congress are probably paying more attention to what Elon Musk does than the Republicans at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, the Republicans, this is a great example of independent thinking. You're watching, once again, a lot of Republicans torpedo bills that other Republicans like. And I am here for it. I love it. It may not make a lot of establishment people happy. It may not make a lot of media establishment Republicans happy, because I've heard a lot of complaining about it. But this is where the buck stops. You got to do it now. And even if you don't get everything you want, even if it's just a little bit of what you want until March or until when they come back or whatever, get something out of this.
I am confident that when Donald Trump rallies the troops, that he's going to be able to get what he wants out of these Republicans. I mean, he's fighting back and forth with Chip Roy right now. Okay. But Chip Roy doesn't want to be I mean, I think it was like 36, 38 Republicans voted against the secondary, the Plan B bill that was put together after the gigantic one failed. It was a monstrosity and it failed as it should. The second one came out and you've got Nancy Mace out there who I just am annoyed by her. That's the best. That's the nicest way I can put it.
Okay.
She's not incredibly consistent on where it seems as though she's trying to take things. And I was pondering on the way into work today, how many Republicans have made a name for themselves over the last 4 years in a Joe Biden presidency where they knew they can't get anything done? Your policies aren't ever going to get past the House of Representatives. You're lucky if they are included in anything that the House gets done, even though you have the majority. The Republicans didn't even use the majority to put Democrats under pressure to say, are you going to vote on it or not? You're going to vote for it? Are you going to vote against it? Are you not even going to call the bill to vote for it in the Senate? And if it's never going to get to Joe Biden, when that's the case, gosh, I'm talking to you, Illinois state Republicans. Go ham on what conservative looks like. You get to talk with great broad freedom on what you'd like to see done because you can't get it done. You don't ever even have to put up, but you do have to stand for something. And if you're specifically to the state of Illinois, if you are in a super minority, why wouldn't you just make as much noise as possible? You don't need to be like, it's so upside down to be like, oh, well, if we want to get things done, we really got to work with the other side. Like, there are things that, of course, you're going to work with the other side just because it's good policy. But if it's not good policy, you don't need to compromise. They don't even need you. In the state of Illinois, the Republicans don't even need to see the budget in order for it to pass. And that's the policy. They get it like the night they have to pass it, and then the Democrats just pass it. And then the Republicans are like, ah, that sucks. You didn't give us enough time to read it. So then they could also vote no. Like, they don't even care because there's no check on that power. I'm thinking of a handful of Republicans that have been in the House of Representatives who have been the cage rattlers for the last 4 years about what they want to do, why the Biden administration is bad, so on and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, you got the power now. You've got the possibility to actually get stuff done. Now I'm ready for you to tell me if you were just interested in rattling the cage to get attention or getting done the business of the American people. And I am leaning into anybody who I am in my judgment looking at saying, you just wanted attention the whole time. As if we should be surprised that that's the way a congressperson would act. But what I want you to do is be somebody who can effectively get people's attention and then use that attention for the good of the American people, not just for your own personal benefit. And if it turns out that in Donald Trump's administration with 53 Republican votes in the Senate, that these Republicans in the House who have been like champions for MAGA before or for Republican or conservative policy, if they are going to use this opportunity to not get on board with what can actually get done, get out. And Nancy Mace is on the top of my list of, why are you here? You love her, I know.
It all depends. It goes back and forth between issues. Because like you said, she's kind of inconsistent. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's great. Other times, I don't know what she's doing.
I don't need to agree with somebody 100% of the time, but I don't. I just don't get it. It's like policy to policy. I understand what a New York Republican in Congress, that's going to look a little bit different than maybe a Mississippi Republican in Congress. But there should be some guiding principles and an understanding that compromise is going to happen under a larger plan that exists above yourself, which we now have. So get it done. And if you want to put something together that is what you can stand by and what you can believe in, and the Democrats in the Senate don't want to vote for it, put it on them. They are so successful in putting it on you. Put it on them and then walk away. Everybody can cry. And then the leftist media will point at the Republicans and say, everybody pay attention to the Republicans. They're doing this to you. But there are more people watching the Food Network than those channels. So just don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
If they can get Guy Fieri to report on this, then maybe the Republicans will be in trouble.
That's what Illinois needs. Guy Fieri. Well, okay.
He's got a restaurant in Illinois.
Maybe
somewhere.
The guy that would do POW or whatever that was.
Emeril Lagasse.
Emeril Lagasse.
Bam.
Bam. Bam.
Kick it up a notch.
POW was Batman.
Bam. Emeril Lagasse was like a cultural phenomenon in maybe the year 2000.
Yeah.
Like transcended all sorts of social popularity.
Yeah.
Why?
That's what I'm saying. But that's the level that Illinois could grab.
I want Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to come up with their own BAM every time they cut an agency.
Yeah.
BAM!
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
We should make a Doge sounder.
What would it sound like?
I can bring it in the next segment.
All right. So I talked about this yesterday, and I'm interested in taking your phone call. So we've got a huge 2025 ahead of us. What we're talking about right now with government shutdowns and everything, this all goes into 2025. What is going to materialize even in the last, 11 days of 2024 going into 2025? Gosh, that's 11 days, man. We've got such a huge year ahead of us. We have enjoyed every minute that we've been able to be with you here covering the Joe Biden years, the Donald Trump years, starting from the beginning, but we're getting back into the Trump years. And I am very curious. I think we all want to know, like, what do you expect in 2025? And what do you want to hear from the Annie Fry Show? Because we try to mix things up as much as we can here to make sure that you are informed, but you're also entertained. And I always tell people, like, I want people to listen to this show, however much of it, and go, at the end of listening that day, feel like you know something more than you did before, but you feel like you exhaled. Not that you had to grip the steering wheel super tight because we were talking about things that drive you crazy. In those days, you know, watching what Joe Biden has done in his administration, or the people who are running this administration have done in the last 4 years, has not been fun to cover. It's not been fun to listen to. I've talked to many people who say, like, I try to tune in, but sometimes it's just like, I need a break. We try to be the place where you can tune in and still take a break. But we want to know what you want in 2025. We want to know what you want us to, how you would like to see this show grow. But what are the stories primarily that you are wanting to follow the most? We'd love to hear from you. You can call us now at 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, and weigh in on the show. Tell us what you think, what you're looking forward to in 2025. Are you excited about 2025? Just give us a ring, and we will take some of your phone calls in the next segment. 314-241-9797. Give us a call and let us know. The YouTube live chat poll for today. All of us picked our favorite Christmas song. It's not the specific rendition. It's just the song that we like the most. Which one of our songs do you guys think is the best? Silent Night, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, O Come All You Faithful, or O Holy Night? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us. It's Friday afternoon. It's the Friday before Christmas already. Can you believe it? I always like to have countdowns on my phone, and I'm here to tell you that we have 5 days till Christmas and 31 days till second Christmas when Donald Trump is re-inaugurated to the presidency.
It's like second breakfast for a hobbit.
It's very relatable.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm here.
I liked at the beginning of that where you went,
Second breakfast.
I mean, it's a time to slow down. Think about what we have. Second breakfast is a wonderful thing. For the country. It's all metaphor. It's all metaphor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's about Trump.
Oh, I
Yeah, it's not about real food.
It's like, I didn't know why we were talking about hobbits, but maybe they're a marginalized community that I haven't focused on enough.
They might be in New Zealand. I've never been there.
Oh, my.
New Zealand.
That's where they shot the Lord of the Rings.
I don't think that's where the hobbits would be, though.
Well, we don't know. I've never been there.
Yeah, they're in Middle Earth.
Now would be a great time to call in and suggest how we do a better show.
Yeah. Or you like it just the way it is.
314-241. You can go outside and call the show.
I
9797.
This is not Ryan. This is a listener.
What's your name, listener?
Petey. The listener.
314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Hop on one of the open lines that we have and give us a call and tell us the stories you're watching the most in the next year, and let us know what you want to hear and how you want to see us cover it here in the future. All right, let's get to Karen first. Karen, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you. What do you think about 2025 and what's coming up?
Thank you. I am most excited about the deportation of the illegals. I would like to know the total cost to the American taxpayer, the effect of supporting them, and then the deportation on top of that, the effect on our schools and other social services.
So you want to see that border closed and the deportation process to begin. That's what you're most interested in.
That's what I'm most interested in, but I'm also interested in the total. I'm just curious, what is the total cost? I mean, I think people should know what it cost both in the beginning when the importation started and the deportation. I mean, I don't know if people really realize what the total cost of that will amount to.
Karen, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. We've spent 4 years talking about the border being wide open. I mean, I will never forget Jim Carafano right after the election coming on the show and say that'll be the number one issue for people in the 2024 election. I remember hearing him say 2024 election and being like, that's forever from now.
That'll never happen.
And he was so confident that the immigration system being so broken and our border being so broken, he was so confident that would be the number one issue for many, many voters that it could swing the election. And I think he was right on it. If you want to join us, 314-241-9797.
What was amazing was that he predicted that. Well, he said, first of all, that this is something they're doing on purpose and that they would not fix it for that long on purpose.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. 314-241-9797. Let's talk to Liz. Liz, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What are you hoping for 2025? All the news that's going to be happening here shortly.
Well, I just got to tell you that I am pretty new to your show, a pretty new listener, and I really enjoy it. But I love that you all talk about your faith and Christian, being a Christian. And sometimes I feel like we're told to shut up and that we can't share that with the world because we might offend somebody else. So I am just hoping for y'all to keep on talking. It encourages me to do that and take that to work and feel empowered again.
Well, that, you know, Ryan and Brad alike, we are all Christians here, and I've kind of taken the mind that we hear so much about how everybody else is identifying, and like you said, Liz, there's a lot of pressure out there, and has been for probably 15 years or so, for people like us, like, sit down, it's not your turn. And I just don't feel like saying the number one thing that defines who I am as a person, as a wife, as a mom, as a broadcaster, as anything, should be my Christian faith. Like, if this is the movement where we start publicly identifying ourselves, maybe we need to do a little bit more of that.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Liz, for the phone call. Thank you for listening. I'm glad you found our show. If you would, tell a friend about us. We would appreciate that.
Absolutely. Very entertaining.
Thank you, Liz. We appreciate that. Ryan nods with affirmation.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, all of us are Christians. We don't ever set out to do. We know topics of the day, usually news-wise, that we probably will talk about, but we don't ever have any, like, a hard plan. So when it comes up, it's...
I'm offended.
It's it's pretty natural.
It's also true.
You know, we don't... When we're talking about something and it goes into our faith, it's because that's just where it went.
Yeah.
And that seems like the most natural way to share your faith is just to be honest about it.
Also, I think my philosophy on this, and you guys can speak to your own philosophy on this. What I have done with this show, because I know that you're listening right now and you're like, Annie, I'm not a Christian. And it's like, it's not for me. Well, I get that. And I understand that. And I respect that. And I'm still glad you're here. What I've tried to do is when we're having a conversation about something, and like Ryan said, we don't pre-plan our conversations out at all. I pick topics. Brad picks cuts of relevant audio stuff. I come in and I take what he's prepared to be at my fingertips and I roll through the thing. Ryan, you know, not because you're not doing anything, but you don't know anything about what we're going to talk about on the show other than maybe a guest or two that might be coming in.
I don't know anything about anything.
Well, this is being nice.
Yeah.
It's Christmas season.
I really am like pretty ignorant. by definition.
Ethan, can you clip that for me? what I've tried to do, and this is what I would encourage you, if this is something that you're thinking like in your life, like Liz was saying, like it encourages her to do it more. I don't ever go, I need to do a Jesus thing today. That's not the way it happens for me. But if there's ever a story that is out there, if there's ever a little bit of a knocking in my soul to say something that has to do with my faith, I just do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking straight into your eyeballs right now as a listener. And I want you to hear what I'm saying and tell you that at this radio station, which I have worked at since February of 2009. I've been on the air since June of 2016. I've been full-time middays since April of 2018. In all of the time that I have ever had the opportunity to be behind a microphone, not a single person once ever has told me to not talk about something, to talk less about something, to talk more about something. Not a single time. And I hope if you've trusted me, if you've trusted Ryan and Brad and the rest of the 97.1 crew for this long, if you're new like Liz or if you've been around the block with us, you know, through maybe several presidents, I hope you understand that my integrity as a broadcaster, as a friend of yours, as somebody who we spend time together every afternoon, nobody's ever going to come tell me what I can't talk about. And I am very proud to work in this organization that I'm in right now to be unfettered access to what I want to talk about. And that 100% includes my faith. Never once has anyone ever told me, Annie, you need to tone that down. Annie, we need to talk a little bit more about this. Annie, you need to support that person less. Not one single time. And if anybody out there ever suggests differently, they're selling you something. 314-241-9797. Got a couple more people on the line here. Let's go to Dave. Dave, thank you for calling the show. We appreciate you for listening. What do you think about coming up in 2025? What happens next?
Okay, Annie, and happy Christmas to you guys.
Happy
and
Christmas.
Also the one thing I was thinking about, what could actually help me with making the show a little better for my access is I do interact with the show quite a bit, but I deliver, you know, Monday through Friday all day long. And it's hard for me to interact with YouTube and, you know, drive and communicate. So I listen. A lot of times I want to send a message or something. So I'll send it via Twitter. But you guys don't always. I'm actually David Winslow. I send you tweets all the time on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I wish there was a way where I could communicate easier with you guys when the show's live. I guess that's my only. The only thing I wish I could improve.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that feedback. Are you thinking like more like a text message or something like that? We do have you heard us talking about the Odyssey app, Ryan? The way people
I've actually done that a couple times. I've called, left a message, but that's another thing. It's kind of hard to, you know, call when I'm working. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just things like that. I don't know. I don't even know if that's possible, but I just like that. I listen to the show every day, and, you know, I'd like to interact more if I could. But my question is, obviously, this Georgia thing with Fannie is a mess. We all know it. It's still lingering. What? This is a state case. I hear the governor of New York can shut that down anytime she wants. Why can't the Republican governor of Georgia, who have made up with Trump now, shut it down? It's obviously time.
I think that's an interesting question, Dave. I appreciate it. I don't have the legalese, the expertise to know how to answer that one, like specifically according to the law. But I do wonder if they wanted to see justice play out because they thought that Trump would be proven in a court. I mean, there's a difference between being taken off the hook and justice being served with exonerating Trump.
Yeah, and as far as the balance of powers goes, my understanding would be that the governor couldn't just step into the judicial and say, this is done now.
I think that he could have pardoned him.
There are things he could do.
After the fact. But I don't know if he can just say, we're not going to do that court case. But I think that the Georgia system, I mean, it's a slow, sludgy process to go through. But right now, it seems as though the justice system in Georgia is working. It's just taking too long. And I mean, honestly, if you look at the losers who have colluded against Donald Trump, specifically in Fulton County, Georgia. And I mean, when I say losers, I mean, they lost big. They've lost credibility. They've been embarrassed in Fulton County, Georgia. Big time losers when it comes to this case. And I'm not even saying that metaphorically. They lost.
Yeah, they lost.
They're losers. That's the justice system part that I want to see fixed. But I think that you are going to see a lot of things in the justice system change when the people at the very top of it change. And that's going to happen in, what did I say, 31 days? Not 31 days. 31 days.
Yeah.
One more call before we take a break. Paul, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you. What are you paying attention to, and what are you looking forward to in 2025?
Thank you for taking my call, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm listening to you as I'm driving down to Florida right now.
I'm jealous. Can I go?
<I'd> sure, like to... absolutely. We'll be happy to have you join us. I'm looking forward next year to maybe seeing a segment once a week come up for what is Doge finding? You know, what is the most outrageous stuff they've come up with for us?
Okay. I think that's an interesting, to really drill into it. We'll write that down. That's a good example of something new that we couldn't have done before that, but being able to watch the specifics. We've said so many times, Paul, that there are going to be things, there's going to be line items that are cut. We're never going to feel it. We're never going to know it, but it would be interesting to see the details on how it got done.
Yeah, and we don't often see a new new whole department of the government come across, especially, I think the last one was Homeland Security, but, you know, they can't really share openly what they're doing with us, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Paul, well, we appreciate you. Enjoy Florida. Very, very envious of the Florida trip right now. So have a great time, and Merry Christmas to you. We appreciate you.
Merry Christmas.
Take care, Paul. You got something over there brewing?
I've been working on this.
I could tell you really want to get it in.
I like the idea.
He's taken over directing the room
of a Doge segment. Around. I think that's a great idea of keeping track of what Doge is finding, what their results are, what they're getting rid of. And I thought maybe we could play. There's something we could play, like going into that every time.
The Department of Governmental Efficiency.
Is that like Dolby?
Kind of.
Are we going to get sued?
There's that one. Here's another one, you know, if you didn't like that
one. Options?
Yeah.
Doge.
Come on!
Either one, you know? Just a couple options. Yeah. Just to let them know you're serious. Anyway, thanks for the call. What was his name, Paul?
Paul.
Is that your brother? Did you just have that guy call in so that you could play these sounders?
It does kind of seem to fit a little too well,
doesn't it? Oh, it 100% does. It's just like Jamie Lissow yesterday saying Merry Christmas to everybody but you.
And then the ornament didn't have Ethan on it.
Yeah.
That was too perfect. It does sound like we're planning things, which is why we're telling you constantly.
My mother-in-law was listening yesterday, and she felt so bad for Ethan, she sent me a bag of treats for him.
Dog treats?
No, they're for Ethan, not for you.
Come on, Ryan. Ethan's people.
You know what? Before we run out of time here, I want to say thank you to Dave for that call, because I like that he led with, how do I improve as a listener? You know? I think that's where we should really be focused. Not how do we make the show better. How do you do better?
That's Dan.
Well, Dan. And also, it makes me nervous, because look at what we're doing to these people. It seems bad. Ethan just came in the room because he heard treats. Almost like a dog when he hears treats.
Heard treats for me.
Yeah. My mother-in-law said she felt sorry for you, so she sent you some treats. I have to give them to you.
Well, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, Bobo did hurt me.
He did not hurt you. He feels genuinely bad. I feel bad for even bringing it up.
Wait, when you say you keep saying treats, like are these things like Rice Krispie treats?
It has nothing to do with you. I don't know why you're so curious.
Yeah, why?
How does he get the treats? Why? Does he clap?
Like a seal?
Yeah. And then you throw him a treat?
This in a segment about how to do better in 2025. It's just really coming down for a crash landing at the end of the year.
Yeah, you mentioned that you'd never been told what to say. The only thing I've ever been told is to...
Shut up.
Not be so serious. Why are you so serious all the time?
Like, that's okay, never happened either.
I guess I'll joke it up a little bit.
You're lying.
The management told me I had to.
That's so exactly
Steve
what
told you.
Management is not telling you that.
Yeah. You're being too serious on these broadcasts.
Yeah.
You need to tone it down, ease up, and just have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. That's why I wore a hoodie. I was, you know, I dressed too nice.
Oh, that's why. Well, just make sure that you're not wearing sweatpants.
Did you run it by Brad?
I didn't run anything by Brad.
He never does.
He's going to judge you for it.
Well,
should
here
we go to
we
break?
Are. Yeah, we go to break now.
All right, let's go to a break. 3-1. Oh, well, I'm not going to do calls again. People are calling in. We could maybe take more phone calls at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm interested in more of what you guys have to say. So 1 o'clock hour. In the first segment, we'll take a few more phone calls if you guys want to ring us and tell us what you'd like to see, what you love about the show, what you want to see. Like, just opening ourselves up to an end-of-the-year review here. Bye, y'all. Also, if you don't want to call in or if you don't want to wait, this is an easy way to contact the show. Go to the Odyssey app. When you open the Odyssey app and you find 97.1 on the app, there's a little microphone next to the play button. Just push record and talk into your phone. We get that, and then we can play that as well at 1 o'clock. Odyssey app, 97.1, find the play button, microphone next to it, record it.
Long lay the word.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
The Bee. Or not the bee.
These are a series of stories which are either fake and from the Babylon Bee, or they are real stories. I'll read the headline. You tell me which is which. The first one, Clarence Thomas wows audiences with starring role in Annie.
Please be real, 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 please.
Play the sounder, because it's Babylon Bee. I know. Surprise, surprise.
What does Annie say all the time? She says she has a shucks line.
Does she? She always talks about the next day, the day after today.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. That's how I guess that's how you put
it. The next day. Sun coming out.
Yeah. She likes happy days.
She likes good weather. She likes good weather.
Anticipation for Thomas's starring role had been building up for months, but nothing could have prepared New York for the mighty roar of delight that shook Broadway as Clarence Thomas stepped out singing Maybe in a deep bass voice.
Maybe now it's time.
Uh-huh. But low.
Maybe.
He's a bass.
It says, quote, I was shaking, crying, overcome, recalled Samantha Nathers, who had front row tickets. We all were. It was like heaven.
Calling me baby.
I'm glad you knew the song, because I couldn't place that one.
It's towards the beginning of the movie when Annie is sitting awake in the orphanage, and she's holding her locket and dreaming of her parents, and then, I love that movie.
So Clarence Thomas would be playing Annie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He wouldn't be playing like dad.
Why wouldn't he?
No.
He'd be playing Annie.
He was playing Annie. Okay. In fact, if you saw the picture on the Babylon Bee, it was Clarence Thomas dressed up like Annie holding a doll.
Well, he had a red curly wig.
Red wig.
Well, he should be Manny.
Yeah, he could be Manny.
Okay.
Next story.
Anywho.
Meet your maker. Meet the robot priests taking the world by storm.
Robot priest? Meet your maker?
That's the quote. Meet your maker. Meet the robot priest taking the world by storm.
That sounds too weird to be fake.
Yeah, that's definitely real.
Yeah, I'm going to call it real.
It is real. A robot priest that delivers blessings in 5 languages and beams light from its hands has been unveiled as part of an exhibition to mark the anniversary of the start of Reformation.
What?
I know.
Don't put this on us.
No, it's what it is. Half a millennium later, the robot called Bless You Too is intended to trigger debate about the future of church and potential of artificial intelligence in church. We wanted people to consider if it's possible to be blessed by a machine or if a human being is needed, said creator Stephen Krebs.
Stephen Krebs is one crazy dude.
Stephen Krebs, that's the fake part of the story.
That's the only part I know about him.
He runs the Krabby Patty, Mr. Krebs.
Oh, the Krabby Patty.
Is that a SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Never watched an episode of SpongeBob.
No,
what? I don't. It's just right after my time. I just never did. Didn't have Nickelodeon.
Your kids didn't grow up watching it?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
It was.
No. But
it
I can sing. They're two, they're four, they're six, they're eight. Something cars and hauling freight.
What is that from?
Don't know.
Oh. Annie.
From Annie. It's actually from Manny.
Manny.
Yeah.
Manny.
Anyway.
Somebody out there knows. There's some 14-year-old boys out there going, yeah. Thomas the Train Engine.
Wait, there's 14. Of all the demographics you could have chosen, you said, oh, this is the 14-year-old boys love Broadway.
Yeah, my son.
Really?
It's not Broadway. It's Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, that Thomas. I thought you were talking about Clarence Thomas as Annie.
I see where the confusion happened.
All right, confirmed.
No, the blue tank engine.
Drones turn out to be elaborate gender reveal party.
B.
B.
That is the B. The revelation came as the lights in the night sky, thought to be Iranian spy drones or possibly UFOs, suddenly formed to spell the sentence, it's a boy.
It's a? Is it an Italian boy?
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
We realized it was part of an elaborate...
Hey, pull out the name Luigi.
Yeah, don't use that one right now. We realized it was part of an elaborate gender reveal party when the first satellite images came in, White House National Security Advisor John Kirby said. At publishing time, President-elect Donald Trump had promised to ban gender reveal parties and make them punishable by death.
Front row.
Wow.
Next one. Law student faces expulsion for misgendering and aggressive pointing at a trans activist.
Aggressive pointing?
Aggressive.
How do you, show me, real quick, Ryan, aggressively point at Ethan. Ooh, that's aggressive. That makes me uncomfortable. I'm for it.
Do you think I should be arrested for it?
Yeah.
I'd arrest you for
that's assault, brother.
Expulsion.
Right now.
Thank you, Billy. All right, the story is real.
Billy?
That's from Billy Madison.
Uh-oh.
That's assault,
oh,
brother.
Yeah. Thank you, Billy. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
On October 15th, the Federal Society held a Save Women's Sports event at Pace University in New York that discussed the unfair treatment of female athletes who are forced to compete with biological men. Houston Porter was a student at the event when a bunch of trans activists started screaming, throwing the entire event into a chaotic scene. In the aftermath, the school charged the student, Houston Porter, for finger pointing and calling a man sir. Those are the charges.
Ma'am!
Calling a man sir and for aggressive
it's
finger
ma'am.
Pointing.
It is ma'am!
That is one of the most ridiculous videos of...
Punches like the big
woman
old stack of video games.
Acting
yeah.
like a roided out dude. Yelling at everyone to call ma'am. It's like, hey ma'am.
Yeah, the student faces expulsion for these allegations. I thought we were getting past this, but apparently it's still there.
The clerk, what was
the
headline?
It's going to take a bit.
Law student faces expulsion for misgendering and aggressive pointing.
Did we
at trans
clarify
activists.
That this is real?
Yeah, it is real. This is
what, I know now it is.
That's what
no
I
music.
Thought it was going. The pointing was going to look like Squidward aggressively pointing there. In SpongeBob, another SpongeBob reference. That's what I thought. This is like a really popular meme right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought that was what I thought aggressive pointing.
It might be.
Yeah.
Aggressive
There's no
pointing.
Pictures of it.
Well, I was, so. That's what was in my mind.
Before Doge cuts funding, NIH working feverishly to complete study on the effects of giving meth to jetpack hamsters.
you said jetpack hamsters, B.
Yeah, I'm going to say B.
I love that they had to, like, oh, no, it's jetpack hamsters. If it's jetpack hamsters, then it's definitely
yeah.
B.
Yeah, would it just be
regular
hamsters?
This is real.
Pushed it just
gave
over the
up
line.
The goat.
You guys are correct. This is the B. The work we're doing is of the utmost importance.
The said, work we're doing.
Said Professor Burton Hemphill, lead scientist for the Hamster Jet Propulsion Laboratory at MIT. If this Doge organization threatens to cut our funding, we may never know how crystal meth affects hamsters that have been specifically trained to fly through the air with small rocket-propelled devices strapped to their backs. This project could change the world, but those barbarians might shut us down.
Why is it always hamsters?
I don't know.
Is it always hamsters?
Seems like we're always tested on hamsters. That and monkeys, if you're... Wasn't monkeys what Fauci was...
And dogs.
Dogs, and dogs.
Puppies, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Fauci going to have his day? Are we going to have a Fauci day?
He's going to get a pardon.
Oh,
I think,
gosh.
It,
you think, well, he will. You think he did criminal things?
Well, I think he'll get a preemptive pardon just so they leave him alone.
Well, there's a huge difference, as we've noticed, between criminal and ethical. Let's talk more. We'll be right back.